Well, what a blessing to be here. I appreciate Brother Andy putting the hallelujah in the one part, you know, on the lily of the valley. I almost said it one time. It's good to be here. Amen. Sure glad for the faithfulness of the Lord. I got to think about that this morning a little bit. And we're not always the faithfulest bunch, but He is. And He's very... He's very aware of our frailty, and I know He's aware of mine, and I am grateful for that, that He is God, and He is a good God, and He's a wonderful God. When things are going great in our circumstances, and when things are going bad in our circumstances, He's still a wonderful God. We're going to John this morning, book of John, and... if you would look at that with me, John chapter 18, and I want to try to be aware of the time. I've got some things I want to get across to you. I believe I've got what the Lord would have for us this morning, and I promise this is what we're going to look at is a little bit about Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 28. The story is there's a lot that goes on with Pontius Pilate. There's with the Gospels, you've got, you know, a few different narratives on what's going on here. What I want to look at this morning, kind of let the cat out of the bag. What I kind of title this is Pontius Pilate, a picture of the people's perspective. Now, I promise that's not a tongue twister, but what that is a little bit of an insight. We want to look at Pontius Pilate and see the way he thinks. We've got a tendency in our circles, which is can be dangerous to forget what the people out there think and what their perspective is and what they know and what they don't know, what they believe, what they adhere to, what their philosophy of life is. As Bible believers, as Christians, as saved people, we have if we're in church and we're under the Word of God on a regular basis, we have an entirely different perspective on life, on family, on living, on being an employee, being an employer, just everything in life. I'm talking about here. Now, of course, eternally, we've ultimately got a very different perspective. But we forget sometimes we've got a very different outlook about things here. And Pontius Pilate gives us a little insight into what's going on out there, I believe, and we may, if we've got time, we may turn the tables and put it on ourselves a little bit toward the end. We'll see how it goes, but you know, however you decide to educate your children, or however you decide to attend church, however you decide to run your home, there's elements of what we might call a bubble that we live in. And I like the bubble. I like the bubble. I like the protective bubble. But the bubble is not always reality. Because at some point, especially the young people, and I'm not trying to get in your business, but at some point, your bubble kids are going to have to go out into this world, and they're going to have to function. My dad would say, leave the nest. And at some point, you need to leave the nest. I don't know who might need to hear that in here this morning, but it might be somebody in here that needs to leave the nest. My dad would look at somebody, he said, you know what, that fellow right there, he just never could leave the nest. And that's another story, but you're going to leave the nest, and you're going to get out there, and you know, there's a balance. I'm not saying that you got to go out there and, you know, yoke up with anything necessarily, but you need to know what's going on out there. You need to know what people are thinking. And I do thank God for the bubble. I've tried to keep, we've got four girls, we've tried to keep them in the bubble. I've got one right now attending Middle Tennessee State University. That's out of the bubble. But she leaves the bubble every day and comes back to the bubble. I thank the Lord for that. It's a situation where our second oldest, Lindsay, can go to school and she comes back, and it's a blessing. So, you know, they gotta sprout their wings and, you know, kind of fly a little bit. Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18 He was the, and you, most of you know this, he was the Roman governor at this time. And you know the situation. He's dealing with Jesus Christ. There's a legal thing going on. You know, the Jews, they didn't want to deal with it. They want to push it over to the government to deal with it. Does that sound familiar? They didn't want to deal with it, so they want the government to deal with it. I don't know, maybe they complain a little bit because the government didn't do it the way they thought they ought to have done it. And that's another whole situation there, but I don't want to get into that. I don't want to put a chill on the meeting, but in John chapter 18, let's look at verse number 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. That's religious people, see. But that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? In other words, what'd he do? What's the accusation? And they answered, it says, they answered and said unto him, listen, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you. They didn't answer. They answered and said, they didn't give the answer. He said, what did he do wrong? Well, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you. Nothing ever changes. Human nature never changes. If you look for it every day or at least every week, you will ask people questions or you will hear conversations where things are asked and the answer is never given. People speaking in parables or something. I don't know what it is. But they said, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. And Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. He's pushing it back the other way. You deal with it. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. More religion, but also, you know, right here, for sure, they're not looking to put him in jail. They're not looking to give him 90 days. They want him dead. They want him dead. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus, said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for the, Lord, the opportunity, Lord, to stand and hold your word. God, I pray you'd bless it this morning. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to these people. Lord, I love this place. God, I pray that you'd guide our thoughts and our heart, God. Lord, thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your sweet Holy Ghost. God, I pray that you'd help us to get what we need from the Word of God this morning. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this scripture, we see a little going back and forth with Pilate. And there's a problem here that we know what's going on in the big scheme of things. The Jews are wanting to get rid of, in death, they're wanting to get rid of Jesus Christ. Pilate's pushing back and forth. And so as we look at this, I want to look at some questions that are asked from Pilate. And Pilate asked several questions, but we want to look at three of them. In 1833, which is the last verse we read, it says, Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou King of the Jews? Now, again, we're looking at the people's perspective. We're thinking about what out there are they thinking. It's a picture of the people. And I'm saying for us, I'm looking at the lost world. What do they think about what we're doing? Because they know we're doing something. As they ride up and down 99, or as they drive through the countryside, they ride by these buildings that they know are church houses, and these people are all meeting in here, and you see them every Sunday, whether they adhere to anything to do with Christianity or not. They know we're doing something. They know we're meeting doing something. But is that all they know? What are we doing? So Pilate, he says, are you King of the Jews? Now, He's basically asking Jesus Christ, are you King of the Jews? Who are you? What? And here's another interesting thing. How does he know that title? He knows something's going on. You know, he's a Roman governor, but he knows something's going on with these people because he's heard that phrase, King of the Jews. You don't just throw that around. So he says, are you king of the Jews? Who are you? Are you who they say you are? And who is they? Because different people say different things about Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? And the world really is confused about who Jesus Christ was and is. And obviously, as I say, Pilate is familiar with the term king of the Jews. But the world doesn't really, as a rule, the world doesn't know who Jesus Christ really is, like we know who he really is. The world would refer to him as, and you've heard these phrases before, as a religious leader. And he was. If you want to use the term loosely, Jesus Christ was a religious leader. He's referred to as a prophet, a master, a rabbi, a teacher. But we know much more than that. He's our Savior. He is the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. He's our Lord. He's our propitiation. I mean, we know so much more as children of God of who Jesus Christ is, but they don't. It's a picture of the people's perspective where, are you king of the Jews? That's a religious title. And for a lot of this world in a religious mindset, that's the way the world looks at Jesus Christ. If they're lost, they just see him as a religious figure, some sort of a title that they might give him. But we know he was more than that. He was more than the king of the Jews. He's God in the flesh. We know that. But and also they're looking at the truth. We're looking at the truth. We're looking at the Word of God here. In John chapter 20, I'd like you to see this right quick. Turn over to John chapter 20. Same book, but just over just a page or so in your Bible. John chapter 20, and you know this verse. John chapter 20, verse number 31. John says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These things are written. We know according to the Word of God who Jesus Christ is. And I hope you know this morning who Jesus Christ is to you personally. But just as a reminder, we're looking at Pilate's ignorance. The world is ignorant. You know, Paul said over there at one point, he said in his life, he did things in ignorance and unbelief. You better have some grace with people. And I know our crowd can be bulldog tough, and I'm for that. I believe in a lot of things. I probably believe in things that you would say are weird. And I'm sure you have a few that I would think, well, that's weird. Okay, fine. Not going to mention them. You can have your own meeting on that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm for standing on some things. But man, you got to give people some grace. We're looking at Pilate's ignorance. They don't know. Why do you all, as a rule, always wear that? Or why don't you wear that? Why do you do this, but you don't do that? I'm talking about your daily walk, your life. They see that stuff and they don't know. But you've got to realize, looking at the world, they don't know what we know. And a lot of things they do are just, they do it in ignorance and unbelief. And you've got to have some grace with those people. You can't hit people over the head. Now, there's a time somebody needs to be hit in the head. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Then answer not a fool, because you're going to end up just like he is. So there's a time for all that, but I'm just telling you, people don't know because they do a lot of things in ignorance and unbelief. Back to John 18, we're looking at Pilate's ignorance. Now, look at Pilate's indifference. Now, this is where we're really getting into today's society. We're getting into, because man, you talk about a world that is, I was standing at the airport yesterday, and I was looking around. We were in baggage claim, and I was just looking around. We're going back to John 18. I was looking at baggage claim. And they had, at Hobby, they've got a few of the carousels closed for some remodeling, it looked like. I saw some temporary sheetrock walls. I was looking at things. No wonder everything's just in, as they say back home, it was just in a big gom. Everything was just gommed together. And there was like six or seven flights on one carousel. And I was just looking at everybody, and I wasn't being judgmental, which is okay. You can judge things. But I was looking at everything, and I was just noticing the absolute melting pot of clothing. I'm not saying somebody was dressed bad or somebody was dressed good. I'm just looking. I was actually, at one point, I just stared through it. And I was just looking at everything I saw. And I thought, that is a picture of our society. I've got a picture on my desktop in my office at the church. And it's a picture from the Ryman Auditorium on a Sunday afternoon in 1922 during a revival when it was the Union Gospel Tabernacle. It wasn't called the Ryman at that time. It was called the Union Gospel Tabernacle. And you know, in that picture, I know it's a black and white picture, obviously, but it's from platform right. The picture was taken right up there, and you're looking at the platform, and you're looking at the whole auditorium. It's obviously a little warm because some of the upper floor windows were up. They were letting a little breeze come through. And that time of year in Nashville, it could be 40 degrees or it could be 100. But the thing you notice is there was a uniformity to everything. Of course, the crowd that would be there, you would expect that. But you know, you've seen pictures from the 20s and 30s, and it seemed like everybody had a nice top coat on. All the men wore hats. The ladies wore what they wore. There was a uniformity to our society. And now it's just a hodgepodge of everything. And I'm not trying to get off into that, but I'm just telling you, we're in a melting pot now. And now everything is just whatever. That's our society now. Everything is whatever. That's a broad term, but that's what it is. In John 18, verse 33, then Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called unto Jesus, said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, you say this of yourself, or did somebody else tell you this? That's what he says. Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Isn't that an interesting discourse? Pilate answered and said, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? What hast thou done? Again, interesting, you've got a nation in a nation. The Jewish people have always existed. I mean, to this point, you know, and always will. It's a nation of people. It's a nation within a nation. Interesting. Well, that's a whole other thing as well. What hast thou done? Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not... I love the wisdom of the Lord. Pilate said, he's still trying to find out what's going on. At least the guy's smart enough to ask, you know, hey, we're talking about somebody getting put to death. We got crucifixion coming up. We got a lot going on around here. We're having court. It's a courtroom. This ain't Judge Judy. This is real. We're actually trying to deal with something here. And he says, what have you done? And Jesus said, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. From hence. Could you imagine the look on Pilate's face when he said that? Now that he ain't said much, the Lord hadn't said much up to this point. But now he says this, and Pilate's thinking, what is going on here? What is going on? Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Oh boy. Now we get Pilate finally. And I believe by this point, I think Pilate's frustrated. I think he's getting aggravated. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? I don't think that was an honest, you know, like all the Jesus movies, you know, like if you turn on TBN and they're all speaking with a British accent, you know. That never made sense to me. Lord, what is truth? No, I don't think that was it. I think he said, what's truth? What is truth? I think he's frustrated. I think he's frustrated. When he had said this, he went out. He said, what is truth? And he went out. I don't think he stood there for an answer. I think he said, what is truth? Turned around, walked off. I'm out of here. I got to take a breather. I got to have a minute here. What is truth? Pilate's got his hands full and he knows it. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Y'all realize we have the truth. And Pilate is showing his indifference here. He's hem-hawing around. He's going back and forth. He's not sure what he wants to do with this situation. I think he's honestly trying to weigh it out with what he's got going on. And this is the people's perspective. This is the world looking at Jesus Christ. They're ignorant of what he is, who he is, and what he's here for. And now they're indifferent. There's another sense of what the world looks at Jesus Christ. They look at what we're doing in here today, and they ride on. They go on to Target. They go on to Walmart. They're going on to the restaurant. They're going to the lake. They're doing all the things they do on Sunday because they're just kind of like, they're ignorant, and then they're just indifferent. What is truth? What is truth? You know, people ride down the road, and they look at a church, and they think to themselves, honestly, we don't think this way. We know the truth. We look at a church, and we say, well, that's a nice building. Or we ride by another church in our judgmental attitudes. Boy, that steeple's nasty. You know, we think something along the lines of we know what's going on. He's the truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But Pilate has this perspective of almost, don't push your beliefs on me. I'm not really into what you're talking about. And we've got a crew now. We've got a crew of young people. And listen, I'm gonna say it. There's so much stuff floating around now for young people to grab a hold of that's got just enough truth in it to get them in trouble. It ain't just Tex Mars and Alex Jones anymore. Whoops. How'd that get in there? I'm not talking about 80s VHS tapes. I'm talking about Candace Owens. I'm talking about Ben Shapiro. I'm talking about Tucker Carlson. And I guarantee you, I could go on mentioning names. And as I mentioned, well, now that guy's right. Well, now she's right. Well, he's wrong. Well, now they're right on the Jew, but they're wrong on government. And they're right on America, but they're wrong on the Jew. Listen. If you live in one of those conspiracy theory tanks, and that's where you live, you need to get out of that. You need to get over it. You say, well, I got to listen to their podcast every day because I got to know what's going on. I can tell you what's going on. The conspiracy theory is nothing new. You don't know a bit more for sure what happened to Charlie Kirk than you do JFK. You don't. I'm talking about truth. What is truth? Well, I'm going to share a podcast with you. You got an iPhone? I'll send you a link. You got the link in your lap. You say, well, that's preacher talk. You take it for what it's worth. You better get out of that. You better get out of consuming that stuff. Listen, I've watched several things and listened to several things of just about, well, yeah, every one of them. Most of Tex Mars stuff was in print, but all that stuff's out there. You say, well, I think I might go looking for it. Well, don't go looking for it on my account. There's just enough truth in every one of those things to hook you into something. Pilate's indifference, and it leads to a generation, especially now. And I'm talking to teenagers, I'm talking to Gen Z, millennials, all down 28, 30 years old and down. If you got access to that stuff, you better look out. Of course, yeah, there's a ton of wicked things to look at and watch and listen to. I understand that, but I'm talking about stuff that a lot of Christians are diving off in, and they live there. I have to deal with that in my own home. I have to talk to my daughters about that stuff. Because they'll say, hey, did you see what Erica did? Look at her eyes. You know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden I'm hitting home. And you'll end up parking over there, and that's where you'll dwell. And you'll forget you got a wife. You'll forget you got kids. You'll forget that you've got a yard that needs to be mowed. A car that needs to be washed. And you get off in some kind of la-la land on some truth that you think you have mined out that nobody else knows. And you may have JFK figured out. I doubt it. I told my daughter that's going to MTSU, I'll just tell her, I said, Lindsay, every major event, 9/11, the Twin Towers, rabbit hole. I said, you pick any major event in this world and you can watch 5, 10 different, completely different conspiracy angles as to what happened, and every one of those has just enough truth that makes you go, whoa, I didn't know that. And you get hooked into that, and you got the truth, you got the Word of God, and Pilate says, what is truth? That is nothing new, man. Here is Pilate looking at this, and he says, what is truth? And what I told Lindsay, I said, what the problem is, you'll back out as a young person that knows the Lord, that knows God. And if you're not careful, you'll watch enough of that stuff, you'll digest enough of that stuff, that you'll begin to put this right there with everything else. And you'll pick here, but I see this, but boy, Ben Shapiro, he says some things over here I've been taught that makes sense. You better look out. You better look out. So you get to this point where Pilate just says, what is truth? And I told Lindsay, if you're not careful, you'll back out and you'll zoom out and you'll look at this thing and you'll lose sight of what the truth is. You'll lose sight of what the truth is. And then the man of God who doesn't have a podcast, who doesn't have a makeup artist, he doesn't have good bump music, he doesn't have good lighting, he doesn't have 487 likes per minute and 27,000 followers added every day, the man of God will get up and he'll give you the truth, and your neck will be so stiff you won't hear nothing he's saying. Oh, we were talking about Pilate. We are. What is truth? And your neck will get so stiff, and you'll get hard-hearted, and the man of God will just very simply try to practically and spiritually, no smoke, no mirrors, no bump music, he'll just try to give you some truth to help you. And you'll look at that and you'll say, I don't know if I believe that. And you'll say, what is truth? And you'll just walk out. And you'll walk out there, and not to get ahead of myself, but maybe you might just go to the bathroom and wash your hands, like Pilate did. I can't say for sure that he's not right. Some of that makes sense to me. But it's just not ringing true with my agenda and what I want to do. So I'm just going to come down and I'm going to wash my hands. And I'm going to say, I am innocent of the blood of this man. That's what Pilate did. He wants to rid himself of the situation. I'm uncomfortable. I don't like this. Young people, you better be comfortable with having God ring your phone and ring your bell. You ought to thank God that He can do that, that He can get your attention, and He can get a hold of your heart, and He can get a hold of your mind, and rattle you up just a little bit and say, hey. And He does it through the man of God. Because last time I checked, the whole setup of the local church, he gave you a pastor. I mean, we don't have time to get into all that. But that's what he gave you. And that's God's man for you. So what happens is, and I'll tell you this one, it's in Matthew, don't turn over there. I don't want to, we can see the runway. We not put the landing gear down yet, but we can see the runway. We're about to land here. Matthew 27, it's another, and don't turn there, it's another narrative altogether in 27:22. That's when Pilate says, what shall I do then with this man that's called Christ? Got a decision to make. And what is the decision? He can't seem to make one. He's over here. He's over there. He's over here. He's over there. Almost like a crowd that's never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth factor these days is it's all over the map. You just pick a truth and go with it. And if you hear something that you don't like or sounds just really far out, you say, meh. Y'all know what that is? M-E-H. Meh. That's where we're at. Used to say whatever. We don't have time for three syllables anymore. Or four. We don't have time for that. Now, we got time to scroll our phone for 5 hours, but we're going to say, meh. Meh. And that's where you end up. Pilate, with his knowledge and his authority, couldn't make a decision about Christ. He bowed to the pressure of the crowd. Is that you? Now, that we're talking about them out there, right? We're talking about a picture of the people's perspective. Man, they don't know what to do with the Lord. They're indecisive. They're ignorant about things. They're indifferent about things. I hope that's nobody in here. I hope that's nobody in here. You know the Lord. You claim to. By your testimony, your word of testimony, the fruit we see in your life, we assume that you're a child of God. You know the Lord. But are we like Pilate sometimes? Do we do that? I'll give you some things real quick. Now, let me say this. As far as we know, you know, he gets down there to the end. He said, you know, put on the sign up here, Jesus Christ, you know, King of the Jews. What, you know, and they said, hold on. Now, don't put that. They put on there that he said he was. The Jews didn't like that because Pilate went ahead and said, hey, this is King of the Jews. The Jews didn't like that. They said, don't put on there that he was. Put on there that they said he was. And he said, what I have written, I have written. That sounds pretty good. But the problem is, it's not very convincing when you zoom out. It's still not very convincing. Because, you know, you're almost like, well, man, he had a real noble opinion of Jesus Christ. And I know it's getting worse in this world, but there's a lot of people that don't know the Lord that have a noble opinion of God. Especially the older generation. They still have a noble, God-fearing, if you will, opinion of Jesus Christ. And I think that's probably what Pilate had, because he said, hey, what I've written, I've written. As far as we know, Pilate died lost. Now, we don't know, but as far as the story goes, Pilate died having a noble opinion of Christ and went to hell. So what does that tell us about the world out there? They're going to hell. We've got the truth. We know the truth. So, real quick, I'm just going to rattle these off real quick to you. What about us? What about us? Are we like Pilate in that we are pushed around and persuaded easily? Do you get in one crowd and you're like, amen, brother, praise the Lord, that's exactly right. And then you come over here and it's Katie bar the door. And just whichever way the wind blows, that's what you do. That's what you, I mean, yeah. You go to work. I hope you've got a good testimony at work. I hope you got a good testimony at the house. You know who knows us better than anybody? The spouse. Do you pass the buck? That's what Pilate did. Passing the buck. Y'all know what that means. That's not a dollar. That's another story. But passing the buck. What is that? Responsibility. I don't want to deal with that. That's what Pilate did. You know how, I know you guys know this. Guys, it ain't always the most comfortable thing in the world to have to deal with something. It's not always the most comfortable thing in the world to deal with something at your house that has to be dealt with. I'm going to be honest with you. At my house, there's 5 women in my house. I'm the only guy. I don't even have a son that I can pull up for backup. Son, I need you to come up here. At least stand beside me. Don't run. You know what I mean. But he passed the buck. Pilate did. Stuff you got to deal with. He had a problem keeping his word. You know, he said a couple times, Pilate said, I'm going to let him go. This sounds strange to you. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't. And he wasn't going to. it was set in prophecy that he was going to have to be that way. But still, the truth stands. Pilate was waffling on his word. He was a people pleaser. Now that one's dangerous. I have a tendency, I'm a service-oriented guy. I like doing things for people. That's not necessarily a quality. That could be a bad thing. I have to check that. Brother Ron helped me with that early on because I'm too accommodating. I'll do too much. I've got other areas that I'm a problem in. I know that. But if you're a people pleaser, that's trouble. Could be a wonderful thing. But that's what Pilate was. And I'll tell you, last of all, with Pilate, he was passive. And we, as we now are in 2026, men are more passive, as a rule, on everything than they've ever been. More passive than ever. And there's a time. You know, I learned this early on. My wife taught me this when the girls, they were just getting old enough to really start questions and issues and things. And can we do this? Can we do that? And she said one of the best answers she ever was taught to give as a teacher was, "We'll see." It wasn't no, and it wasn't yes, and it wasn't maybe. "We'll see" because if you say maybe, I think when you say maybe, I think the needle does this. It's pushing over just like this means yeah, we're going to do it. But "we'll see" is, I mean, it just sets right there. And it makes them think. And then another one, I think it was Miss Rhonda, Brother Ron's wife. You can't win every battle. You can't die on that hill. There's a time to just, you know, you don't have to get, as men, you don't just have to get up there and just, you don't have to just kill the situation that's going on at home. Wow. Great job, Dad. Now everybody's scared of you. No, got to find a place to not be so passive, men, because we have that tendency in us to be passive. So the last thing I'll say, so while the world is ignorant, indifferent, and indecisive, here we are. We have the opportunity to show forth His praises, His marvelous light, His gift, His love, everything that we have. He's equipped us. We got the truth. We got everything. Here's the toolbox right here. We got the whole thing. We have it in our hearts. We can give it to people. And don't forget that those people out there, they don't think like we think. And they might just could use a blessing from somebody like us that knows the truth. Amen. Brother Roger.